Good morning. There's a need in our hearts for a deep, strong respect toward God. That is the bedrock of a good life in proper knowledge and right behavior. The Bible says in Proverbs 1 and verse 7, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." There is a famine of genuine reverence toward God in the world today as people openly show their disregard and contempt for the Creator of the universe, which always leads to dire consequences. Romans chapter 3, verses 10 through 18 reads, "What then, are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have before proved, both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are gone out of the way, they are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known." Now carefully consider verse 18 of Romans chapter 3. "There is no fear of God before their eyes." The lesson is entitled "Fear of the Lord." It seems difficult to fully define fear. It is a reverence produced by holy fear. It is an attitude of great respect that includes a healthy horror of displeasing God. It is a love and appreciation holding God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit in the highest of esteem. The Bible says this of Noah: "By faith Noah was warned of God of things not seen as of yet. Moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith." Hebrews 11 and verse 7. Every intelligent being owes reverence to our Creator, which includes honor, adoration, respect, worship, awe, and amazement. God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints and is to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. Don't forget Psalms 89 and verse 7. John said that he saw an angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel, to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, "Fear God and give glory to him. For the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters," reads Revelation 14, verses 6 and 7. Let us be aware that there are wrong kinds of fear. For example, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. "He that feareth is not made perfect in love," reads 1 John 4 and verse 18. The feeling of terror and slavery to law and sin breeds fear. This is the fear that is not the beginning of knowledge that was referenced in Proverbs 1 and verse 7. "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, where we cry, Abba, Father," Romans 8, verse 15. We serve God gladly, not slaves in bondage to law, but spiritually free children of God, that is, free from the bondage of sin, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God, reads Romans 5 and verse 2. With love and gratitude, we serve him who loves us without being forced to do so with fear. God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness, Romans 6:17-18. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice, Philippians 4:4. What about cringing fear of cowardice and timidity? Some are too timid to stand against sin and stand up for the truth. That kind of fear will cause people to be lost. We must not be timid in dealing with unrighteousness. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind, 2 Timothy 1:7. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Read Revelation 21:8. We have the same spirit of faith according as it is written, I believe and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak, 2 Corinthians 4:13. Now we turn to the right fear we are to have for God. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. For this is the whole of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Reads Ecclesiastes 12:13-14. The Old Testament emphasizes this attitude of devotion. And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. Job 28:28. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. To depart from the snares of death, reads Proverbs 14:26-27. The New Testament requires the right kind of fear to bring repentance and to prevent carelessness before God. Notice these few passages. Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell, Matthew 10:28. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your conscience, 2 Corinthians 5:11. Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire, Hebrews 12:28-29. Throughout the Word of God, fear is loving and obedient reverence toward God with the dread of displeasing Him. He sent redemption unto His people. He hath commanded His covenant forever. Holy and reverent is His name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do His commandments. His praise endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in His commandments. Read Psalms 111:9 through Psalms 112:1. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, were multiplied, reads Acts 9:31. And yes, fear includes being afraid of being lost. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, Philippians 2:12. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left of us of entering into His rest, lest any of you should seem to come short of it, reads Hebrews 4:1. The lesson is entitled, Fear of the Lord. This fear of the Lord is the basis of all true knowledge. Reverence toward God, including obedience to God, is the foundation without which all other knowledge is vain. Notice 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 through 31, which reads, "For the preaching of the cross, which is true knowledge, is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, which is vain knowledge, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent, also vain knowledge. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ, who of God is made unto us wisdom, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glory, let him glory in the Lord." That's 1 Corinthians 1, 18 through 31. Fools, or wicked people, despise knowledge of the truth, and they do not value the Scriptures, which is the only means of getting or obtaining truth. The Bible says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." John 17 and verse 17. "The sum of thy word is truth, and every one of thy righteous ordinances endureth forever." Read Psalms 119 and verse 160. Consider what the fear of the Lord has done in the past. The Savior's fear was involved in securing our salvation, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him, that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he believed, or in that he feared, rather. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Reads Hebrews 5, 7-9. It was true fear that motivated the apostles to preach, even when civil rulers commanded them to stop. Notice Acts 5, 25-29. "Then came one and told them, saying, Behold, the men whom ye put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people sadly more than fearing God, lest they should have been stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council. And the high priest asked them, saying, Did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, We ought to obey God rather than men." That's Acts 5, 25-29. Timothy was to teach when people turned a deaf ear. In 2 Timothy 4, verses 2-5, he was told to preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all long suffering and doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and be turned unto fables. But watch thou, in all things endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. That's 2 Timothy 4, verses 2 through 5. Saints or Christians spoke even when it brought the threat of death. Acts chapter 8, verses 1 through 4 reads, "And Saul was consenting unto his death, and at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house, and haling men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word." Obedient reverence has always united God's people. Notice Deuteronomy 4, verses 7 through 10. "For what nation is there so great, who hath God so nigh unto them, as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great that has statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which is set before you this day? Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons, especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, Gather me thy people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children." That's Deuteronomy 4, verses 7 through 10. The New Testament Bible says, "They that gladly received his word were baptized, and that same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles." Reads Acts 2, 41 through 43. The fear of the Lord does good for us today. Holy fear causes us to depart from evil. "Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord and depart from evil." Reads Proverbs 3 and verse 7. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. Proverbs 8 verse 13. Therefore, holy fear serves as a basis for our personal holiness. "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. Fear and reverence help us in teaching the word. We need to teach facts, of course, but influence others to respect God and his word. Religious leaders do not have sincere respect for God when they disregard plain teachings such as Matthew 16, 16 and 1 Peter 3, 21 concerning one's soul salvation. It's not a matter of not understanding, but a demonstration of infidelity, which indicates the absence of reverence for God and his word when men choose religious traditions of men over divine truth. Fear of the Lord gives us quiet confidence. "Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long." Proverbs 23 and verse 17. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. Proverbs 3:24 through 26. In conclusion, parents and grandparents should instill godly fear and reverence in their children and grandchildren. Preachers and teachers need to present lessons designed to encourage this awe for the Lord. Elders need to have the fear of God in their own lives and make every effort to lead others to this disposition of heart. Let us maintain the fear and confidence of the Lord in our lives and in our hearts. Build your life on the right basis now. Fear God and keep His commands. If you have a spiritual need, please come all together. We stand and sing.
For fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Secure from all alarms.